good to be with you again this evening to come together and to blend our voices in song unto God and praise unto His high and holy name. We're thankful for the presence of each and every one of you, our own members. As I said this morning, you're an encouragement to each. We are an encouragement to each other when we come together in times such as this. We face so many temptations and so many difficulties in the world as we go through each day with people from the outside, that it is comforting to come together and know that we can assemble with those who have the same faith that we do, who have the same things in common, and we share these things. It's a comfort and it's a strength to us, and it's a time that we should look forward together to being together. We want to change pace just a little bit from the things that we talked about this morning and talk about what does it take for us to be a good teacher of the Word of God. And I believe this is something that should be of interest to everybody who's a child of God. Whether you are older and perhaps you don't teach, you don't think that you teach, or if you are a teacher in the classes back here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night, or if you have aspirations as one of these young people up here, maybe to teach the Word of God someday in a class situation, I believe that we're all teachers of God's Word, and we need to improve on that each and every day as we possibly can. Every church, I am convinced, needs all of its members to become involved with the teaching that goes on in the classes, that goes on outside of the classes, perhaps as maybe in some situations there are those classes and studies of the Word of God that are beginning in people's homes. The church needs to be involved in that if they possibly can. Each member, I am convinced, has something that he or she can contribute, can add to the overall program of the church. We are aware of the fact that the success of any Bible class depends mostly, again, this is not solely, but mostly on the teacher. This, I am sure, we recognize as being true, is even more important than perhaps all the modern facilities and equipment that we may get together so that we can teach. And you know, there's a lot of churches that spend a great deal of money in striving to get the latest thing that they can teach others with. And those things are wonderful if you're able to do that, but those things cannot take the place of a teacher. And the teacher is the one that really makes the class go and makes the class learn. And again, it's nice to have all of these other things, but it is the teacher that is the one that gets the lessons across. Every Christian should endeavor to be a teacher of the Word of God and to teach others the Word of God. We have such passages as in Matthew 28, we read there, where that we are to teach others. We find, as the writer of the book of Hebrews says in the 5th chapter in verse 12, says, by reason of time you ought to be teachers, that you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments, the first principles of the oracles of God. There was a time, and there is a time, that we all should get to that point of where we have the ability and the knowledge of the Word of God that we can impart that to someone else, whether it be on a one-to-one basis or whether it be in a classroom situation. There's a little poem that goes, and I believe it expresses the idea of we all are teachers in one way or another. And it goes like this. Whether you stand before class and are loved as teacher by lad and lass, whether you teach God's lessons true, you are a teacher, whatever you do. If you are willing and given to prayer, God's wondrous power with you he will share, and many will learn of his will from you. You are a teacher, whatever you do. If you haven't given your life to God and carefully taken each step that you have trod, many others may falter because of you. You are a teacher, whatever you do. Better teach lessons you work to prepare than make one soul falter because you don't care. God expects much of even you. You are a teacher, whatever you do. So don't shrink from doing the work of the Lord. Though you don't understand everything in His Word, God will help all, including you. You are a teacher, whatever you do. So this lesson tonight is designed for each and every one of us. Whether we do stand in a classroom or whether we teach one-on-one, there is a responsibility for us all. And every one of us as teachers should strive to be a better teacher than we are now. And make some kind of goals toward that end, that in a year from now or 2 years from now, I'm going to do everything that I can to improve my ability in teaching others. Each teacher also should recognize the great responsibility of the work that is before them. That we are living examples. We are teaching daily the Word of God, the will of God to others. James talked about that responsibility in the 3rd chapter in verse 1. Where he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment." Now, I don't think James is saying this to discourage people from becoming teachers. Because I believe there's ample proof elsewhere in the Word of God that as we have ability, we had better teach the Word of God. Because as we have abilities, He is going to give us opportunities. What James, I believe, is trying to express unto us the gravity of the situation. That we are teachers of God's Word, and we had better give heed to how we live and to what we say about the Word of God. One of the greatest needs in most churches is for more teachers and for better teachers. Once again, we've heard the cry throughout my lifetime, perhaps yours, that we need more preachers of the Word of God, or that the church needs more elders. But I'm convinced there's probably a greater need for better teachers of God's Word. And good teachers don't just happen. They are made. And we strive to make improvements in our teaching and in our presentation of the Word of God day in and day out and year in and year out. And while a teacher can receive a lot of help on improving himself or herself, presenting the Word of God. Basically, a teacher can get better only if they desire to do so. Only if they want to improve themselves. Let's resolve that we are going to be a better teacher. Regardless of how we do that, whether it is in a classroom situation, or whether it is one-on-one, or whether it is just simply by the life that we live, we are going to strive to be better, more effective individuals that proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what is it that makes a good teacher? And this is a question that needs to be asked, and one that we need to see if we can answer from our own experience and see if we are that kind of teacher and in the areas where we might be able to improve. One of the things that I believe that is necessary if an individual is going to be a teacher of the Word of God is that they have to be a Christian. Now somebody might say, well, that goes without saying. But I'm not talking about just an individual that has gotten wet, that has been baptized, and perhaps even has the right to be called by the name of Christ. I'm talking about an individual who has gained a knowledge of the Word of God, who understands the gravity, the seriousness of the work that they're about, and is striving to impart that knowledge to someone else. Here is an individual that should be everything that the word Christian truly means. That they are a follower of Jesus Christ every day of their life. That in their conduct and in their behavior, Jesus Christ is the example before them. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, we see there where we are called, and because of the suffering that Christ did for us, that He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Well, not only in suffering, but in everything, Jesus Christ is the perfect example that we are to follow. And that is what a Christian is. Someone who follows Jesus Christ, who makes the teachings of Christ a part of their everyday life. And you can see it in them. They are an example of what a true child of God is. A good teacher is one whose life is wholly dedicated to serving God. In their speech, in their dress, in their conduct, in their day-to-day habits, They are examples unto others of what a child of God ought to be. They live by the rule that Paul set down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, where he says there, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. A Christian, the one that makes the good teacher, is an individual that tests things to see if they are bad and see if they are good. And once they have made that determination from the Word of God, that which is good, they're going to hold to and they're going to practice all the time. Those things that they have proved by the Word of God to be evil, they're going to stay away from because they know that it will be harmful to them and also harmful to others. Here is an individual that's going to be a good teacher of the Word of God because they live the Word of God every day. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to make any mistakes. That doesn't mean that they're not going to sin. But when they do those things that are wrong, they're going to repent of them. They're going to straighten out and they're going to do what is right. They're going to stay away from that form of evil and they're going to correct their ways. So even when they are wrong, this good teacher, this Christian who wants to be a good teacher, is going to be an example of a child of God, even when he does things that are wrong, because he's going to turn from that. A good teacher, and being a Christian, also is one who will attend all the assemblies of the church that they possibly can. They're not going to willfully absent themselves from an assembly. They're not going to stay away. Because an individual that is not faithful themselves cannot expect to teach someone else about faithfulness. Now, can they? They simply can't do that. Oh, they may say the right words for them, but that student that is listening to this individual, those words are going to go in one ear and run out the other because of the life that teacher is living. And if they're not faithful unto God in that way, and that's one of the ways that we can see more readily, that if they're not faithful to God in that way, they're going to have a hard time teaching someone else about being faithful unto God. And so they will strive to do the very best that they can to be at the assemblies. This is what makes a good teacher of the Word of God. There are also going to be people who will pray. They recognize that they have a need for God, that they are truly and totally dependent upon Him for everything that they have and that they are. John says in John 5, 15 and verse 5, really it's Christ talking about Himself and others. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And a good teacher of the Word of God recognizes his dependency upon God and will pray to God for strength and for help. In 1 John 5 and verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now he's talking about one who's a faithful child of God here. God hears that individual. And the one that wants to be a good teacher is the one that will make prayer a part of their everyday life. They again follow what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, to pray without ceasing. Here is a good teacher. Here is one who is striving to be a good teacher of the Word of God. And they will meditate upon the Word of God night and day. And they're people who have a desire to practice the things that they teach. Because I think we're all aware, very quickly, students learn to detect hypocrisy in one who is a teacher. It matters not how young they may be. They can see right through it pretty quickly. And so we want to practice what we preach. We want to live by those things that we're striving to teach others that they need to live by. And so a good teacher will be a Christian. Again, not in the way that the world defines it, but in the way that we are followers of Jesus Christ. A good teacher also is someone who really wants to teach. They want to teach the Word of God. It's unfortunate, but a lot of people are teaching classes, perhaps teaching others the Word of God, because it was something that was put upon them. And they kind of have taken the attitude that, well, since nobody else is going to, then I might as well do it myself. Somebody has to teach the class. Someone has to teach others the Word of God. And if nobody else is going to do it, then I'll be the one that does it. Now, that kind of teacher, now I'm not saying in all cases, but that kind of teacher is one who's not going to put the best effort that they possibly can into teaching others the Word of God. A good teacher really loves to teach. They have knowledge that they want to impart. They have learned something from the Word of God. They have applied that Word of God even in their own life and experience. And they are there wanting to help others, wanting to teach them because they themselves have gained that knowledge. And they want to tell others about that knowledge. They strive to fill themselves with the Word of God. And a good teacher is one who really can't help from telling others about Jesus Christ. You can't stop them. You can't hold them back because they want to teach. There's several books that I have read, one by Brother Haley and one by Sweet. He wrote a book on Revelation, and they were talking about teachers, and they were talking about prophets. But it applies to teachers as we're talking now about it now. And they say that the teachers, there's three kind of teachers, or all teachers fall into one of three categories. And that is, there are teachers who say something. There are teachers who have something to say. And then the final category is, there are teachers who have something to say and they have to say it. And that's the kind of teacher that we should strive to be. You know, this first class, there are people who have to say something. There's a teacher that fills time. He or she has 40 or 45 minutes in which to fill, and so they've got to say something. That's not the kind of teacher we need to be. Or we don't need necessarily be the teacher that has something to say. Although we want to say something, we want to fit into this category of the last one. That we have something to say and we have to say it. That it burns within us. That we have a knowledge. That we have a fire for the Word of God. And we want to tell others. That's the kind of teacher we need to be. Jeremiah made the statement in chapter 20 and verse 9. As he was told by God and saw all the things that the children of Israel were doing. He says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah had that burning desire to tell others the Word of God. He kind of made up his mind. He wasn't going to say anything. The children of Israel were rebellious. They weren't going to turn back to God. So why should he teach them? But he says this, I could not hold back. I had to tell them the Word of God. You know, this kind of enthusiasm on the part of a teacher is seen by the students. We need to strive to instill within those that we are teaching a greater knowledge of the Word of God. And that's going to take more than classroom time being spent on a lesson. We're going to need to spend a lot of other times to have a true desire to teach the Word of God. I'm also convinced, and this ought to just naturally follow, that a good teacher is able to teach. We all maybe have a lot of enthusiasm of teaching others the Word of God. But enthusiasm alone is a poor teacher. It's not going to go very far. We need to have some ability, and I believe that we all have some ability in teaching others the Word of God. Again, it may not be in a classroom situation, but we're teaching whatever we do in our day-to-day life. Not everyone can teach a Bible class. Not all members of the body of Christ have the same ability. Paul wrote in Romans 12 and verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but not all the members have the same function." We are all not able to do that. We need to have some ability in teaching the Word of God. Because as we said, this is what teaching is. Teaching is the impartation of knowledge. The teacher has acquired knowledge concerning, as we're talking about here, the Word of God. He has that in his mind. She has that in her mind. And she wants to convey that she has to the minds of the students, or he has to the minds of those that are listening. And the words and the phrases that the teacher chooses are really linked together to get what the teacher knows into the mind of what the student knows. That's really all that teaching is. It's the imparting of knowledge from one person to another person. And this conveying of the thoughts to the minds of the students in words that they can understand and that they can comprehend is something that is necessary if we are going to be good teachers of the Word of God. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is all Paul is telling Timothy to do, is to convey this on down the line from those that are your students, then they will have students. Impart this knowledge that has been committed to you, that you know, and tell that to others. Everyone, as I said, I am convinced, can teach someone the Word of God. We have an ability. And according to our ability, I am convinced that God is going to give us opportunity to teach His Word. And that's the responsibility then that we have. Certainly we realize that greater opportunity is going to be given to those who have greater ability. But we need to realize that we have an obligation, all of us, to teach the truth. That is the thing that we need to teach. You know, I have known some great teachers in my time. Perhaps you have too, in schools, in colleges, in universities. You know, I can turn on the television and I can watch some of these denominational people. And these people are good teachers. The problem is they're not great teachers because they're not preaching the truth. And to be a good teacher of the Word of God, you have to teach the truth. This is another necessary thing that if we are going to be good or great teachers of God's Word. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 1 through 4, about a time when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. But he tells Timothy in verses 1 and 2 some things that he needs to do. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." He says simply, you preach the word. That's what we have to do. Adding nothing to it, taking nothing away from it. He goes on to say, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn aside their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." He says, you teach and you preach the truth, because some are going to want to turn away from that. We have to teach the truth. And no matter how we might be able to impart the knowledge that is in our mind to our students, if it's not the truth, then it's not going to do us any good, and it's not going to improve their situation before God at all. Before we can teach the truth, we must know it. We can't know something without study. This is true in any particular area of the teaching or the imparting of knowledge to someone else. We are not like the Christians in the first century. They had spiritual gifts given unto them. The disciples were told, don't worry about what you're going to say when you stand before others, because in that hour it will be given to you what you need to say. We don't learn and do not have a knowledge as they did sometimes in the first century. We have to learn. And a good teacher is going to know the truth. He's going to study. She's going to study. They're going to have a good Bible knowledge. And a good teacher is going to impress, is going to be impressed with the value of the Bible. They're going to strive to impress on others the worth of the Word of God. They will hold the Word of God before the class at all times as being the voice of authority, the Word of God. Teach every student to respect it as the Word of God. They will not teach traditions. They will not teach the doctrines of man. They will teach the truth without any compromise whatsoever. Regardless of the situation and the consequences, the truth will be taught by a good teacher. That's what we need to strive to do, to improve ourselves in this area as teachers of the Word of God. A good teacher also is one who works. Everybody who's tried to teach recognizes that it's not an easy task. Some people have a harder task and have a harder job of teaching others than perhaps another teacher does. Perhaps they have a little bit more natural ability in teaching others. Perhaps they've studied the Word of God just a little bit longer. But to all of us, it is work. We have to spend time in preparing lessons and in teaching and in choosing the right things that we want to say to get the point across to the other one or other ones that we are teaching. And a successful teacher is going to be one that will work long and work hard. You know, those teachers in the public schools are the ones, those that are recognized are the ones that do put a great deal of time and effort and hard work into the things that they do. They don't just spend time at school doing that. That's the only thing that they do. The reason they are recognized is because outside of those 6 or 7 hours, they spend a lot of time in preparing themselves to teach others and to be better teachers. Diligent study of the Word of God is something that is needed. As Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to doctrine, and to exhortation. Give attention to these things. And when we become a good teacher, we'll do more than simply go over the lesson that we want to present to the students. We'll do more than simply read over the chapter in the Bible and prepare ourselves in that way. We'll do everything that we possibly can to better ourselves in teaching others. We will work at it. We will consult many books, perhaps, so that we might, in gleaning through all of these things, come up with just one thought that will help us to get our point across to the students. We will need to know what the Bible speaks on the subject in which we are teaching. And so that's going to take work. Not only work, but what something that goes hand in hand with that is that a good teacher will sacrifice. They often have to sacrifice a great deal to do a good job, to present it in the way that it needs to be presented. And they're willing to give their time. They're willing to sacrifice other things so that they can have the time to study the Word of God and to present it in a way that it should be presented. Because all of us that have tried to present any lessons at all, and even trying to talk one-to-one, perhaps to our neighbor, recognizes that to prepare a lesson well, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. on the part of that individual that is trying to impart the knowledge to someone else. Perhaps there are other things that you might think of that would help all of us in being a better teacher. Because in being a better teacher, we're going to become a better Christian. We're going to learn more about the Word of God. We're going to improve ourselves and our abilities. And improving our abilities, again, I'm convinced we're going to be presented with greater opportunities of teaching God's Word, of telling others about the wonderful story of Jesus Christ and what He's done for mankind. That we all have an ability to teach. And in the day of judgment, we don't want to stand before God as the one talent man did before his master to give an account for what he had done. Because he hid his talent. And as a result of that, he was driven from the presence of his Lord. We don't want to be like that one talent man. We don't want to be there before God and say, "Yes, God, I know I was able to do something, but I was afraid." Let us use these abilities. Strive to do everything that we can to better ourselves in service unto our God. Make us better teachers. I hope there was something here in this lesson tonight that would be beneficial to those who are already teachers, to those who aspire to be teachers when they get older. Maybe we can all learn something from this, striving to be more pleasing in the sight of God. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, then you have an opportunity tonight to be one. If you will humble yourself before God, if you will become obedient to the commands that He has given unto all of mankind, He's not going to single you out to tell you something, to do something different from anybody else. Jesus Christ died to save all of mankind, and He's telling all of mankind they need to be saved, and they're going to be saved in the same way. And that's obedience unto the will of God. There's no shortcuts. There's no other way around it. We simply have to humble ourselves before God's mighty hand and be obedient unto Him. If you're willing to surrender your life to God this evening, someone outside of the fold of safety, what you need to do is have faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins, and they'll be washed away in the watery grave of baptism. You will stand before God pure. You will stand before Him as a new creature, putting to death the old man of sin, alive in Jesus Christ, enjoying spiritual blessings. If as a child of God in some way you've sinned and need to seek the forgiveness of those that you've sinned against and ask for the prayers of the congregation here, you have an opportunity this evening to do that. The song has been selected. Let the words stir you and move your heart to be obedient. Won't you do it as we stand and as we sing?